This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Covers the Browns for cleveland.com. You know him. It's Dan Lobby joining us now. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, Jake, how are you doing?
We're doing pretty good. Something about mandatory minicamp. It's just news flying all around. You listen to everybody talk. We get to hear from Miles. We hear from Deontay. It feels like we're in a different space right now. But I'll start it off. We'll go away from the quarterback to start things off, Dan, because I've now heard like four different members of the Cleveland Browns say they expect Myles Garrett to have a career year. Why is this something that continues to come up over and over and over again when it's a defensive player of the year heading into nearly 30 years old?
It's crazy to think about, but I've always kind of felt like there is still somehow, some way, another level to Myles Garrett. And it's like I said, it just seems crazy, but Jim Schwartz sort of laid the gauntlet down when he talked a couple weeks ago and said after that contract, he expects Myles to have his best year ever. With great power comes great responsibility. And I guess when I think about it, as great as Myles has been, and he piles up just season after season of 14 sacks, 15, 16, all kinds of pressure, double teams, triple teams, all of those things. It does feel like that one signature season, right? That one season when 10 years from now, you pull up his Pro Football Reference page and you're like, man, in 2025, he had 21 sacks and 3 forced fumbles and 1 defensive player of the year for the second time. Like, I feel like that's still out there for him, that kind of one like signature, like, man, that was the year when Myles Garrett was at the peak of his powers, which is probably the scariest thing for any offensive coordinator to think about.
If we talk about that and just looking at it, maybe not so much of just pulling up his name and going to Pro Football Reference, because at that point, the numbers speak for themselves.
Right.
But when you think Myles Garrett off the top of your brain, is it possible for him to have that type of year that everyone goes back and remembers if the Browns are not very good this year and are where Vegas projects them at like 5.5 wins?
I think it's more difficult, obviously. You know, when you're on a losing team, you're just not going to get the attention. But I think there's so much attention on the NFL that if you have just a truly historic type of season, I mean, let's say he's chasing the sack record, and we're getting to December, even if this team isn't very good, I think people would pay attention to that. And I think people would be keeping track of that, because I do think on a national level, there is this just adoration for Myles Garrett and what he can do in these moments when he just comes roaring around the edge like no other player can. Obviously, it would help to get some wins and maybe surprise some people and be in the playoff chase. But I think if he's having an historic season, people are going to pay attention to it.
All right, Dan, inevitably we had to talk quarterbacks, so here we go.
Yeah, of course.
As I went through and looked today, and this is a genuine question because I do not know. I just saw a lot less of Shador tape today in general, and I had seen the ranking sort of out there from all the several reporters covering the teams of the way that they went on 11-on-11s, where it was Joe, it was Kenny, it was Dylan. Did Shador run 11-on-11s today?
You know, off the top of my head, I can't I think he might have, but you know, they're doing these modified 11 on, or 7-on-7s that look like 11-on-11 sometimes because they have D linemen line or O linemen lined up as D linemen to just kind of create space. But today was a little bit of a strange practice. They did some red zone. So Shador did do some of that. As far as actual 11-on-11, off the top of my head, I can't recall how much he did, but it was definitely a day that was heavier for Joe, Kenny, and Dylan ahead of him, sort of what we've seen throughout camp.
Yeah, and we've seen, like, in the different areas, right, we know that Joe's taken the backseat on a couple of those. Kevin's talked to that. And it's Shador, then, in the other times that we've seen it taking the backseat. And do you think there's a reason that it's typically those two quarterbacks, and we haven't really heard of, you know, Kenny having that off day, at least when the media's been able to watch, or Dylan Gabriel necessarily having that off day?
You know, I think part of it is Joe just doesn't need it as much. He knows the system pretty well. It's a similar system to what he was running in 2023 and some of the play action stuff he was running back in his early days in Baltimore. So I think he's pretty good with that stuff. I don't think he needs a ton of reps like the other guys need. So he can slow play it a little bit. And then I think with Shador, just over these last few days, it sort of has felt to me like this whole spring has been set up in a way to help build Shador's confidence, because he has been working down the depth chart. He's been going against, you know, third, fourth stringers for the most part. We have seen him get some second team work. And it's interesting because Dylan Gabriel, when he's kind of gotten that same opportunity, that's sort of when he's looked at his best too. He just hasn't had as many opportunities as Shador to sort of have those confidence building moments against some of those players. So I think with Shador, it's really just about, let's set him up to have a successful spring and really get to know the NFL and get to know the playbook and really kind of get caught up with everybody else so that when we get to training camp, he's going to be feeling good about where he's at and he's going to be able to throw himself into this competition because we set him up to succeed.
As we talk about Shador, Dan, is there a way where potentially, because we know that Shador hasn't run with the first team while his fellow rookie has, is there a way that they're not putting Shador out with the first team in a way to protect him? Not the idea of, hey, let's keep the national media off our backs, but in a way of, let's keep the national media almost off of Shador's backs and temper those expectations of him sort of running with the first team. And we know that can almost explode and run wild as soon as he does.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just feeds into this idea of, and he even said it the other day, like, he has time. There's no reason to rush this. And so, you know, look, if you threw him out there against the first team, do I think he could have some success? I do, but they're just not ready to rush this. They again, I think they just want to build that confidence level. They want to stack, you know, there's a coaching cliche. They want to stack those days, successful days for him, and they're just going to kind of slowly continue to bring him along. So, you know, however you want, if you want to frame it as protecting him, as sort of confidence building, whatever it is, I just don't think they're in a rush with Shador Sanders.
Dan, you got to be careful with those coaching cliches. I hear, I got nine of them from Kevin every time he speaks.
I'm just going one day at a time here.
All right. Dan, as we go through right now, obviously the guys who are out there, they're competing in mandatory minicamp. But when we talk about actual quarterback battle, do we feel like that's truly begun at this point? Or is this still, as Kevin would describe it, an installation period, getting these guys ready and familiar with the offense, and then the quarterback battle truly starts once we get to training camp?
I think it's more the latter, more of an installation. And look, I think the competition is on to an extent, but it really isn't on until training camp. And then you're going to be able to put the pads on a few days in. You're going to be able to mix in some run game. You're going to be able to do a little more rushing the passer. Obviously, you can't tackle. They don't want you to contact them, but you're going to do a little more. But the rush is going to feel a little bit more real. And then you're going to have the joint practices, one against the Panthers, and then you got two against Philly. And I think when we get to Philly, we're going to have a really good idea about where this thing stands, because the top two guys are going to get most of the work there, whoever that is. So I think the competition has started, but it doesn't really ramp up and really get going until we get into training camp. And you just get to make it look and feel more like football. And I think Kevin Stefanski is dead set on having a more competitive, more physical training camp. And I think this competition is going to take on a whole different tone once we kind of get to the end of July.
Again, DaneLobbyCleveland.com with us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. A very general thing, but I feel like I have to ask it anytime we talk to anybody covering the Browns, and you specifically, Dan. You're out there. You got to watch the quarterbacks over the last few days. has anything changed on where we stand with where the rookies are compared to one another and where with, you know, if we're Billy an early depth chart, even though Kevin tells us not to, on where it would stand in total?
I still think, like, if they were going to play a game tomorrow, it would be Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco starting that football game. I don't think they would go with one of the rookies. Now, if the NFL passed a rule and said, you got to play a game tomorrow and you have to start a rookie quarterback, I think it would be Dylan Gabriel. I do think it was interesting that Dylan Gabriel was doing a lot of the install stuff with Kenny Pickett. So I think he's, you know, him and Shador are still kind of together on one side of this. But I think Dylan Gabriel, at least for now, has a foot in the side that Joe and Kenny are in as well. So he's sort of straddling that line a little bit. I think he's a little closer to them right now than Shador is. Although I do want to say I thought Shador had a really good spring. Just based on the throws alone, I'm a little surprised that we haven't seen a little more of him up the depth chart. But again, I think we might see that in training camp if he comes back and has done the things he needs to do. But that's sort of how I see it right now.
There was an interesting conversation earlier on in the day on our station where a couple of our hosts got into it, basically just on talking quarterback upside and where these guys stood. If you had to pick a quarterback right now that you thought had the highest upside, where would you look for that?
I would go Shador. Like, if we're talking long-term upside, the guy that I'm most intrigued by, I would go Shador Sanders. But a lot of that is just sort of preconceived, like, I'm not the biggest Kenny Pickett guy, right? Joe Flacco is 40 years old. So what's really the upside there? Maybe if we're talking immediate winning, Joe Flacco might give you the best chance to do that. But if we're talking long...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Term, you know, Dylan Gabriel was fine. His college film was fine. I wasn't that into Dylan Gabriel. So Shador was the guy I was higher on going into the draft process. Obviously the NFL saw that differently. He ends up in the fifth round, but I'm still, I guess, like, if you were going to say, hey, we're just going to throw a guy out there, find out about him. If it fails, we'll draft a quarterback next year. I'm most interested in what Shador Sanders looks like.
Dan, I had an interesting thought just earlier on today about the way and look at Kenny Pickett. Not much where you are. I'm not very high on Kenny and his prospects of turning into a, you know, an elite quarterback or a top 15 to 12 quarterback in the NFL. If we look across where reclamation projects are right now, we've seen, at least very recently, obviously you look at Baker and Tampa, which is a scenario we all know very well and everything that played out into it. But even Sam Darnold with Minnesota, and you look to Seattle with Geno, those guys didn't win. And in the case with Minnesota, it wasn't even enough for them to say, okay, let's keep Sam here and keep it going. Obviously, J.J. McCarthy behind them. Is there a similar fear for you almost, though, in having that laid out to you, that it could be a very similar scenario with Kenny Pickett, and you're almost running this exact thing back next year where he plays really well but isn't under contract moving into the next year?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to get to the point. I mean, Minnesota faced that really interesting decision where Sam Darnold was so good for them, but then, of course, he flamed out in those last two games, so it made the idea of, you know what, we don't want to be the team that pays him. We don't want to be on the hook for that. If the Browns get to a point at the end of the season and where Kenny Pickett has played well, but maybe isn't, you know, you're not looking at him as your starter for the next 5 to 10 years, you do face an interesting dilemma, because then you might have to give him that, you know, I think Baker Mayfield's contract in Tampa after he finally won that job and they extended him with somewhere in the $30 to $35 million a year range. Do you want to pay that to Kenny Pickett? Do you want to use these two first-round picks you're sitting on? Do you have a belief in one of these rookies that maybe didn't get to play because Kenny was good enough to keep them on the bench? It does present an interesting dilemma if he plays well. Now, I don't know, would people be complaining if Kenny Pickett somehow had this team on the cusp of the playoffs? I guess that's a good problem to have. But you could face a situation where you have to ask the question, do we want to be the team that pays Kenny Pickett this much money for the next 3 or 4 years?
DanLobbyCleveland.com with us on the hotline. We were just talking last segment as well, Dan, and looking at sort of, you know, the impact of where quarterbacks were at. I guess, where are we looking right now? Obviously, mandatory minicamp, and we, you know, rookie OTAs and everything that we go through in this, we talk about how much more impactful each process is. But just how impactful into deciding this depth chart is the preseason going to be for the Browns?
That's kind of a great unknown, because Kevin has not really taken the preseason super seriously. And I don't know that they're going to look at preseason games to determine who wins this job and who doesn't. I think a lot of that work is going to get done in those few weeks leading up to the first preseason game. And then they have the joint practice with the Panthers, which isn't quite as important just because it's one day. So they're just using it as a chance to kind of get out of town and do something a little different. I think the two days that are going to matter more than any preseason game are the days in Philadelphia when they practice against them back to back. You're going to be at a point in camp where you're going to have some answers about this competition. You're going against a really good defense. And I think it's going to be a chance, whoever they roll out there in the 1 and 2 spots is going to tell us more than anything we see in that preseason game a couple of days later. So I still think what happens on the practice field and those controlled environments and those joint practices are going to be more important than what we see in those three preseason games.
Dan, getting away from quarterbacks, one of the interesting things I took away from yesterday was Deontay Johnson spoke to the media for the first time as a member of the Browns. I thought he laid out at least a solid answer as to sort of taking accountability for last year not being as great and essentially wanting to play with the chip on his shoulder and be better this year. How much does that push us away from Deontay Johnson being a lottery ticket by just openly admitting it? And how much more is ahead of him of having to prove it through being here and handling the right attitude as the preseason activities and into the season go along?
I think it's still always going to be in prove it mode, you know, until it's not. Like, until you are sure that he's going to perform, that he's going to be available, that he's going to be on the field for you. Now, he's got to sit here and look at this situation and see the runway that's in front of him. You got Jerry Jeudy, obviously, that's your number one guy. And then after that, it's a lot of question marks. Ed Tillman's going to get a chance. Jamari Thrash has had a nice spring, so he'll be in the mix. He added a guy like DeAndre Carter. But if Deontay Johnson is close to what he was in Pittsburgh still, none of those guys should present that much of a challenge to a guy as talented as that. So he needs to be looking at this as, hey, last year was bad, and I'm here playing on the veteran minimum. This team doesn't owe me any guaranteed money. They can move on in an instant if I step out of line and it's not going to mean anything to them. But if I can come in and do what I need to do, I could be the number two or three receiver on this team. It is wide open. So I think if Deontay Johnson could see the opportunity that's in front of him, it could really benefit both sides.
I'll get you out of here with this one. It's still looking at the wide receivers. You laid out a lot of the guys that are going to be in the mix. How much is wide receiver depth a problem on this team? Because I remember even looking back to, I think Zach Jackson put out a tweet yesterday sort of detailing where the guys were and where they were working. Said Tillman was off to the side. Jerry Jeudy and Deontay Johnson, like you mentioned. Aside from that, in terms of name value that a lot of fans are going to know, it seems to be awfully desolate.
It's the area of the roster, one of the areas that I have the most concern about. Obviously, you know Jerry Jeudy. He's got to prove it year over year, right? But he had a great year last year. He's got the right attitude. You see the talent there still. I think he can have a big year as long as he adjusts to being the number one. But after that, again, just completely wide open. We haven't seen it consistently from Sed Tillman. Jamari Thrash, again, a good spring. We've seen lots of good springs. It has to turn into something on Sundays. That's a room that can get really thin really fast, especially if Jerry Jeudy gets hurt. Now, he's been pretty healthy throughout his career, so that should help them. But the thing is, you got to include the tight ends in there, I think. You've got to include the running backs. I think they're going to use the running backs in the passing game a lot. So I guess if you want to spin it a certain way, you can say they got Njoku, they got Harold Fannin, Judkins and Sampson can be good pass catchers out of the field, especially Dylan Sampson. So that'll help. But as far as the actual receiver position, if the wrong guy gets hurt, you get really thin there.
Dan, always good talking to you. Always appreciate you setting aside the time. And now we all get to get ready about Shedeur Sanders' offseason speculation when there's actually no football happening. So we have that to look forward to.
Can't wait.
All right, Dan, appreciate you.
All right, thanks a lot.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, giving us some good stuff there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what some of Dan had to say coming back here as well. An interesting point brought up earlier regarding Dylan Gabriel. I just thought it was really, really odd. The way that we've heard everybody go, we're expecting Miles to have a career year. Miles is going to have a career year. How in hell does a defensive player of the year that had taken another notch up at age 29 and have a career season when his team is projected out to have like 5 or 6 wins? Like, again, if he goes through and like broke the sack record, yeah, I mean, that's a career year. There's no doubt about it. Individually, a career year, I think, is a fair way to look at it too. Like, if you go back and, like Dan sort of laid out, you go and look at like Pro Football Reference and you go back and you're, wow, Miles is just really good this year compared to the rest of his seasons. Okay. I think that's possible. We're talking, again, career statistical year is one thing. To have a year that your career is basically defined by, that when I think, and maybe not me specifically, but people nationally think, oh, Myles Garrett. That you're like, whoa, 2025, that dude was burning. You basically got to break the sack record. Even T.J. Watt was a winning season. I think we'll probably go back and look at T.J. Watt and be like, remember that year he was basically right there at the sack record? Sure. But they were winning. They were a team that was in the mix, and you basically had to sit there and talk about, I don't know that the Browns are going to be anywhere near that this year. One of the interesting things that came up today, too, that wasn't a conversation that we got to with Dan, was this idea of basically, and we touched on it yesterday, too, going through and looking at the veteran quarterbacks, and what I think boils down to more of, you look at this entire room by the end of it, and you say, okay, we go to a veteran, and we like that veteran. Veteran's good. We're going to start the year with him. If you look at the other two rookies, and they're not good enough, right, and you say, you know what? I don't even trust either of them to be the backup quarterback right now. Like, they're not beating out either Joe or Kenny, and we're hanging on to both of the veterans. To the point of whether or not you'd actually be open to sitting here and potentially trading away one of the rookie quarterbacks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
And I think when I look at that idea, like, it makes sense from a roster building standpoint just to not have four guys in the room, because that's, basically impossible to manage. But more so going through and trying to break down, like, if you're going to trade a guy that you haven't yet seen take the field, you or I might be up here, and I know it's not all of you. I personally would probably fall into this category of being like, if you gave me just about anything back for Dylan Gabriel pre-draft, I'd be like, all right, cool. If I could trade away Dylan Gabriel for a fifth-round pick, I'd be ecstatic. But after you draft a guy in the third round, this idea that you can go through and just trade him away and be like, oh, I got a six back for Dylan Gabriel, that's good enough. I don't think that's how that works. So you'd be talking about potentially trading Shedeur Sanders, which I don't think gets this team very much closer to having their future at quarterback in the room. I think that Dylan Gabriel, truthfully, under a Kevin Stefanski system, could be like a average quarterback. He'd make the offense move. I think the Browns told you that. They believe that that's possible, and they drafted him. But aside from that, I don't see a top-tier quarterback play coming out of Dylan Gabriel. There's not enough speed there at the size he presents to make that possible. And I don't know that any of us should be looking to trade away Shedeur Sanders at the value that you got him at, unless you just believe that guy's got absolutely no chance. No chance to go through and make it. So what I'll toss out to you, 216-474-0092, would you be open to trading away a rookie quarterback? And for me, it would have to be, in a way, Dylan Gabriel specifically, because I'm not open to trading away Shedeur. That's not even something that crosses my mind, because I think he's your best chance to have your answer at quarterback this year. The only way I even begin to process that idea and begin to think that that's possible is if you get to the preseason and Shedeur lights it up, but everything else that you have been told through the way of watching Shedeur play, and this would be a Brown-specific point that, again, I would have to massively disagree with, but they're going to know it better than me. But you look at Shedeur and say, yeah, there's no chance that guy's going to be an NFL quarterback. There's just no way it's happening. But he lit it up in the preseason, so maybe we can get something else here. I also just don't think value increases like that. Right? Like, we saw the value on Joe Milton increase by a single round. You got one round back, and that was in a regular season game. End of the year was a borderline preseason, but it was a regular season game where he went out and played well, and the Cowboys are willing to give up a little bit more to get a backup quarterback that they could see a future with if something had to happen to Dak. If I watch Shador, and I think if any of us watch Shador play tremendously well this preseason, you're not set up in a way that trading a rookie benefits you at all. In trading away the guy that actually looked good, again, benefits you. Like in all of the other cases that we can look at it where it would make sense, and going back to Joe Milton last year, like you had your guy in Drake May. He had played well through the entirety of the year, and you felt confident in that if you're the Patriots. But right now, the Browns is an open quarterback competition. It is an absolute battle where everybody is trying to stake their claim, and everybody is trying to win that. I'm not willing to go away from Dylan Gabriel. And we listened to Dan, and Dan told us in his eyes, the guy with the most upside would be Shador. And I think that a lot of us would have to agree. The quarterback we look at when we talk upside probably should be Shador Sanders. Hey, there were people that wouldn't even have drafted Dylan Gabriel, period. I was not far off that list, by the way. That was with the assumption that 9 quarterbacks go in the draft is that I'm saying Dylan's drafted. That's never a guarantee. Ended up to play out to be pretty true this year, but never a guarantee of something that's, it just has to happen. I'm not willing to say that Dylan Gabriel has a higher upside. A higher floor in this offense is a potential. But when we talk about the ceiling and what a guy can become, Dylan Gabriel doesn't strike me as that at all. He shows me a kid that's not ready to fully be an NFL quarterback until he hits a growth spurt. And by the way, he's like 23 years old, so it's not happening. Randomly picks up, I don't know, about 0.3 of a second on his 40 time. Probably would make me feel a little bit better, too. I would also be willing to venture that that's not happening either. I just don't see a world where it makes sense, and certainly not trading away a guy that shows any promise. If Shador looks good in the preseason, it's not the end-all be-all by any means, but it's enough to keep, I think, fans excited and enough to give you a reason to have him hang around and have him be in the mix as a guy who could take over at quarterback at some point. I'm not looking to trade a rookie quarterback. I'm not really looking to trade any of these quarterbacks outside of, I'd be open to trading Joe if somebody wants to give something. I might be open to trading Kenny Pickett if it made sense from a value perspective what you traded to get him. But the rookies, I'm not even open to trading Dylan Gabriel. I want an answer, and I want a long-term answer. You drafted 2 quarterbacks for a reason. Give those 2 quarterbacks a chance to compete. Give them a real shot to go out and win it. You don't get that by trying to recoup their value in the draft heading into next year. Find your solution. Then we can talk about moving off of quarterbacks and young ones specifically at that. But the 7th rounder is really what's the killer there. Not for a guy drafted in the 3rd. I just would not be willing to do it. Like, I think at this point especially, like maybe if you got to later on in the year, but even then, even looking at it to say, all right, when we are about to start the season, that you give up 4 rounds of capital for the quarterback, I think there's a lot of fans out here who would say that because a lot of us didn't like Dylan Gabriel, but I think there's a lot more that would also be sitting there and saying absolutely not. Jax, you trading away Dylan Gabriel for a 7th round pick and a charcuterie board?
Okay, no, but yes.
Pre-draft, I would. 100%. Like, if you told me a charcuterie board delivered directly to the Halley building and a 7th round pick for the Browns, and they don't draft Dylan Gabriel in the 6th round, they'd be like, deal.
Yeah, because it was the 3rd round, no.
Yeah, like, I could have drafted Charles Grant there. Again, it was an offensive tackle I've mentioned probably far too many times from William and Mary. He's a quality player. It's a guy who could step up and potentially see time, who was drafted not too many picks later. And I think it just makes way too much sense to use a 3rd-round pick on a guy and at least keep him around. You don't just cut or trade 3rd-round picks right after you draft them. There'd be absolutely no reason to do it. I just don't see any reason as to why we'd be going and change your mind. Also, complete side note, we're getting ready here to talk about Kenny Pickett, but why do I look up at the Stanley Cup Finals and see Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce? Why did that just happen?
Big hockey fans.
In what world? In what world are they big hockey fans? I've never heard not one time Travis Kelce speak about the NHL. And
is Taylor Swift from Florida?
No, she's from Philly.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because she's an Eagles fan. Yeah. So she'd be a Flyers fan. And they're like decked out in red like they're rooting for the Panthers.
Maybe they're friends with someone on the Panthers.
Not to any of my knowledge. But, I mean, I guess I don't keep up with the personal lives of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. No, not entirely. It's not really. I can guarantee you. There's a lot of sports things that go in my mind when I go home. All right, I look at a lot of different things. The personal lives of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are not one of the ones that I do a deep dive into. Unfortunately not. Just an oddball. Oddball pairing. I couldn't. I mean, it root for the U.S., but I don't want the Panthers to win. Chris Fedor is leaving the station today. I was talking to him about the Stanley Cup Finals. He doesn't want the Panthers to win. I think a lot of people do. Much rather see Edmonton, who's, by the way, trailing 1-0. But that's aside from the point. I guess the other conversation here, and a conversation that also went down between Chris and JP today on Afternoon Drive, a sort of a breakdown of, hey, we're looking at upside on quarterbacks right now. And what guy that you look at and say he has the most upside? Toss that question out to Dan Lobby. He tells you, all right, well, I think that's probably Shador Sanders, in which I would agree. There was a conversation being thrown out today. There is a world where we think it's Kenny Pickett. Right? And Jason Lloyd was on earlier today with Kenneth Anthony and tossed out, I don't know if it's praise for Kenny Pickett, but what I think is a very real scenario for him.
Kenny Pickett's going to start the first game. I'll be shocked if he doesn't. And I say that as someone who's watched most of these throws, and I think, I mean, Flacco to me looks like the best quarterback out there, but I think Kenny Pickett's going to be the starter. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he just completely collapses in training camp. And, I mean, first time Joe Flacco dropped back and threw it, I said, yep, he's still got it. The old man can still spin it. And he's looked to me like he's got the best arm. He's the best quarterback on this roster. But I've been pretty consistent on this. I don't know what playing a 40-year-old quarterback, where that gets you with what they're trying to get out of this year. I don't know if it's necessarily developing the young guys. It's seeing what you have in the young guys. Because I'm of the belief, as soon as they traded down on draft day, they are taking a quarterback next year in the first round until proven otherwise.
Well, okay, so I agree at that point to some way with Jason Lloyd, too. Like, I think Shador could be that guy. But yeah, you trade down, there's a good chance you draft one next year, too, going into the first round. But, okay, we can look at Kenny Pickett as a day one starter. But I think where a lot of my problems lie in this entire conversation is that Kenny is a lot of ways. We look at reclamation quarterbacks. And I think to a bigger degree, we look at the success of these reclamation quarterbacks, right? Baker's obviously the one that comes to mind, being here and having watched him play in Cleveland and make a career now in Tampa. Like, Baker still hasn't found a ton of playoff success. Geno, they paid, they kept in Seattle. They found nearly no success with Geno other than, you know, being a playoff contending team, but never going further than that. And then last year, Sam Darnold leads the Vikings to 14 wins. Didn't even know that he would be playing, right? You probably would have assumed it would have been J.J. McCarthy at least at some point. And then leads them to 14 wins. And you go, all right, well, that's enough of Sam Darnold. We're not committing to that contract. We're going with the first rounder that was hurt that we drafted the year before instead. I just don't want to see a scenario where the Browns are left quarterback list next year and you basically have Joe Flacco 2.0, but just in a different fashion, a different light. Because, okay, even if you go through it and you take the scenario that goes down with Joe, right? The reason that I advocate against Joe Flacco being your starting quarterback is if Joe plays well and they keep Joe there, you're left in a worse conundrum going into next year than you were this year. Sure, you have a first-round pick. You also would have two second-year players who had not seen the field. And then potentially a rookie quarterback on top of it. You're just a quarterback room of young guys. You're probably letting minimum one of those guys go. And you just wasted two draft picks. My fear is that I look at a year with Kenny Pickett, where even if Kenny plays well, are you committing to Kenny Pickett going forward? Are you going to say, all right, well, I'm going to go get, let's go get Kenny here. Let's have him play well. And then he's a free agent next year, and are we going to re-sign him? And if you don't, it's, again, the same scenario that run into with starting Joe. Like, Kenny would have to play well enough for you to say, I think he's going to be better than a first-round pick has the potential to be. And Kenny, a former first-round pick himself, but he has to be better than exactly what you'd be getting in the first round and what you think the upside of that quarterback is. There's a very small chance of that. Very low likelihood that whatever you see out of Kenny Pickett next year tells you he's going to be a top 12 quarterback. I don't have a ton of faith in that. I will not be shy about that fact. Kenny could look good next year. I don't know that the Browns even commit to him if he does. I don't want to be left in a terror scenario, which is why I think starting Kenny is a slippery slope in the first place. With the small likelihood that he does look good, is you're backing yourself right back into that corner once again. But, I mean, I'm okay with starting him. I'd rather start him than Joe. But are we not running into a similar scenario? And I'll ask you at 216-474-0092, is there not a potential for Kenny Pickett to put you in the exact same scenario that Joe Flacco would heading into next year? Let's go out to the phones. Sean is in Kent. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, Jake. How's you doing?
We're doing good. How about you, man?
I'm all right. I'm just curious as to what your disdain for Dylan Gabriel is. You know, and I'm not like, seriously, I'm not like going, oh, I think he's the greatest or anything. I don't kind of get it because he played in a major program. He won a lot of games. You know, I mean, he's a body, you know. What is the deal? I personally would have preferred if they had chosen Will Howard because I like his size, and I think he looks more like an AFC North QB, so that's my disclaimer. But I'm just curious as to what the beef is.
I mean, there's no legitimate beef. I mean, I looked through the quarterbacks, and I did my quarterback big board prior to the year. Dylan Gabriel landed at ninth. He shows a lack of speed, like a 4.8 340, so he's already one of these slower quarterbacks, which isn't the end of the world. But when you stand at 5'11", and do that in an offense that's predicated a lot on, trying to get your receivers into motion, trying to set up easy passes, which is similar to what Kevin Stefanski does. It can work in college. I mean, we've seen college quarterbacks have a ton of success and show almost no NFL talent, very similarly to some of the guys that we watched even in Cleveland, like DeShone Kizer had a good college career, was an NFL quarterback, and had height. Johnny Manziel, short,
I mean,
great college career.
I don't think I'd put DeShone in the same category, Kizer in the same category as Gabriel, because where did he play? SoCal or something like that?
Kizer played at Notre Dame.
I don't know.
It's a major program. It's a good program. They're in the mix every single year. I mean, I can look at Johnny. Johnny played at A&M. There was a lot more problems with Johnny, but on-the-field product was certainly one of them.
So do you think that he looks bad? Is it the speed your big thing or the size?
It's a combination. I think if he had one and not the other, it'd be okay. But when you put both of them together is really where I don't like what I see out of him. I didn't think the arm talent was great. It wasn't terrible. But like he failed to show me a very dominant trait. And usually when you're an undersized quarterback, you have to give me that. Like Johnny, and the reason why he went in the first round and not the third, or where a lot of people thought he'd go later with Dylan Gabriel, was he was fast and he had a ton of playmaking ability. Dylan Gabriel doesn't show me any of that. It's like good accuracy. He won games in college. And that was really it, with a very good program, by the way, with a strong defense and semi-talented wide receivers, NFL-caliber wide receivers.
But do you think that's more like, I mean, Joe Flacco's not fast.
No, but Joe Flacco's 6'3", 6'4", the cannon of an arm.
Well, exactly. All right, I was just curious. What do you think about the Howard thing? Would you have rather had Howard?
Well, I would have rather had Howard over Gabriel. No doubt. Yeah. I mean, I would have taken him. And Sean, I appreciate the call. Like, yeah, I wasn't like a massive Will Howard. Like, I got to go have him, and I would have taken him in the third round. But if you would have made me pick one or the other, Will Howard didn't fall very far down my quarterback big board. He was certainly higher than where he got drafted. I don't know that he would have been great. I'd said that pre-draft. I didn't have a ton of faith in him, but I thought he had a much better shot than Dylan Gabriel did. I mean, the size. Like, again, it's not that I hate Dylan Gabriel. It's not even that I hate Dylan Gabriel's ability to function in a Kevin Stefanski offense. I think actually a lot of the stuff that he does well, it fits the Kevin Stefanski offense. I've said that before. He's a really good play action quarterback. I think he can throw on the run. Lefty helps him a lot. He can make a connection with his tight ends. But if we're talking, you know, a quarterback that you're going to win a Super Bowl with and you're going to commit to, Dylan Gabriel does not fall under that category. Like I said, I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't be on that board. I'd get rid of him. I would have drafted him a lot later if I drafted him. I would have definitely taken the 7th round pick for him. But, hey, we're living in a different world here. The Browns need a real answer at quarterback. Dylan Gabriel's not that. Also not my highest guy potential-wise. Again, great floor. I think not great at all ceiling.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.